And welcome to The Good Stuff. Just wanted to let you know today's show was pre-recorded, and we just would be remiss if we were not acknowledging the devastating wildfires happening in the LA area and just sending our thoughts and lots of love to the community in LA for what's ahead. We know all too well in our own community what that's like to go through. So just wishing them all the best right now, thinking about them and hear if they need anything. And now we will get on with our pre-recorded Good Stuff show.
Welcome to The Good Stuff. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers, still practicing my talking. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And here we are again, a January Saturday. But
now the year's officially kicked off because we had our annual meeting this past Thursday. So I feel like that's always... Yeah, because that's like the announcement. I mean, it's a little wonky because we're on a fiscal year that starts July 1st, but we sort of present calendar year plans. But it feels like everything's in the books now, getting ready to...
Back in the groove.
Yeah, we're back in the groove.
Back in the groove, ready for a new year, ready to do great things. So speaking of, we have a great guest today, and we will introduce her when she comes into the studio in a minute. But Allison Jordan is with the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance and also works with the Wine Institute, two very important organizations that you know a lot about. So tell us a little bit, because you and Allison spent some time in Portugal, I believe.
We did, right before the holidays, early December. So Allison's great. I can't wait to have her in studio today. Just been an instrumental partner in our sustainability commitment. She runs the program that's the partnership between the California Association of Wine Grape Growers and the California Wine Institute that is their sustainability certification. And so I've literally, Allison was one of the first people I met when I started at Sonoma County Wine Growers, and we started talking about making this sort of region-wide commitment to sustainability. And so and since then, we've just been able to do a lot of great work together. And as you mentioned, Portugal, she has been working a lot with the, which we'll let her tell more about, the International Climate Hub and the California Climate Hub, really looking at sort of good data on understanding sort of what's ahead weather-wise for grape growing and how do we work together on sort of climate solutions. And so she was instrumental in helping the International Climate Hub kind of learn about what we were doing in Sonoma County. And so that got me the invite to Porto, Portugal in December for the first ever International Climate Hub Symposium. Mm-hmm. So I got to do a small keynote presentation on what we're doing, kind of our Farm of the Future efforts and our sustainability commitment here, and then facilitated a panel, which was great. So got to spend a couple of days with her over in Portugal, and it's just really interesting to be in another country and in another wine region and talking to the wine growers there and the winemakers there just about how things are different, how things are the same, you know, how we all sort of had the same challenges, you know, price of inputs going up, finding, you know, a good labor support, you know, what's going on with the wine marketplace. So it was a really, really fun, interesting trip. So a lot more I think we can do with both the International Climate Hub and the California Climate Hub.
Well, it's nice to have that kind of representation. I mean, you and Allison have been at this for a while and have some great perspectives. I think, you know, she brings a perspective, I suppose, of some of the other regions as well, but all the commonalities and sort of the macro view. And you can dive deeper and really talk a lot about what your growers experience and then all the partnerships and what they bring.
Yeah, and I think that's, and recently just got her connected. You know, we went and did a specialty crop roundtable, got to say that right, in November in Santa Clara with SVG Thrive. They're kind of in one of the initial ag tech investors, VCs in Silicon Valley. And we were able now to connect Allison with them because they're actually coming to Sonoma County in April to host their next specialty crop roundtable. So it's just nice to be able to have a really great partner at the state level, essentially, that can look across all of California and really share best practices and learning, support what we're doing here locally, but also sort of, you know, be a partner on again, all those partnerships and really elevating the message around sustainable farming. and winemaking.
Yeah, and I've been happy to have her in the room when in some of your Farm of the Future conferences and get-togethers, and just a great mind and a lot of great experience, and
just a lovely human being.
So, yes,
as you all out there are all going to hear shortly.
So. All right. Well, we will bring her on in a minute. Anything else you want to like announce for?
No, we're gearing
the coming
up.
Weeks.
You know, last week we had Rich Franklin on the show from Acrisure Arena and the Coachella Valley Firebirds. We are multitasking coming up here in two Saturdays. We will be down for the Passion for Pinot event down in Palm Springs, and overlaying that with a winemaker sort of wine tasting with our new partner, the Shops on El Paseo. Thank you, Acrisure Arena, for that new partnership. And at the same time, we'll be over in Napa for the Zin X. They're doing sort of a VIP, smaller, Zin-focused event. And so we're doing a masterclass over there, as well as hosting the VIP lounge. So we'll have a number of our Zin partners. So we're going varietal for our next two events, right? Pinot Noir and Zin, two of our biggest wine or grape varieties, I should say, grown here in Sonoma County. So lots of fun stuff going on in January. We are now full in the swing of the year, and also headed to Houston, too, for another activation with the Rockets. So all things Rockets, hockey, wine events, so much going on.
Spectacular. All right, we'll be back soon with our guest, Allison Jordan. Thanks for joining us on The Good Stuff. We are here with our guest mentioned earlier, Allison Jordan, Executive Director of the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, and also, as if that were not enough, Vice President, Environmental Affairs for Wine Institute. Thank you for joining us, Allison.
It's so great to be with you this afternoon.
I know.
I know, it's so fun. And I was telling on the intro section, just, you know, we've worked together now almost the entire time I've been with wine growers, which is going on 13 years. Holy cow.
And time flies.
And time flies. I know, and just how instrumental you've been in helping our sustainability efforts and commitment. And also, it's been nice to get to know you and become friends. So all of the good stuff.
On the feeling
show.
Is mutual.
Yeah. Well, we have so much to cover. There's so much that you've done and are doing, and we want to hear about all of it. But we also want to start at the beginning. You have an impressive background in psychology, public policy, and wine certifications, you know, because why not throw those in? Share a little bit about yourself, kind of what brought you to this position?
Well, it goes back.
I was like, where to
two
start?
Decades or
well, I know
more.
We like
more.
To start at the beginning.
If I want to date myself. But, well, my psychology background, I'll start there. I have a psychology undergraduate degree from Allegheny College, which is a very small liberal arts college in Western Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And really, it's very interdisciplinary. So I would never claim to be a psychologist, but I do use psychology every day.
I would imagine.
In my profession and with my children and in my family. But my career, I would say, really started at Resource Renewal Institute, which is a nonprofit organization. It was based in San Francisco at the time. In fact, the very end of this old pier at Fort Mason Center, I would watch whales and pelicans fly by. It was pretty magical. And my boss was his name was Huey Johnson. He was a renowned environmentalist, land conservationist. He also was the first resources secretary for Jerry Brown. So just an incredible mentor early in my career, introduced me to so many different people in government and business. In fact, I learned about Wine Institute and CSWA, the California Code of Sustainable Wine Growing, when I was in New Zealand with now a colleague, Steve Gross, who heads up state relations for Wine Institute. And we were there looking at how they deal with environmental management and with different environmental policy, the way they approach it, especially from a natural resources perspective. And they had just been working on the California Code. They hadn't finished it yet. And fast forward, I got really interested in public policy. I was a fellow on the German Marshall Fellowship Program that Carissa also had done previously.
Thanks to Allison nominating me, so which was an incredible experience.
Yeah. But yeah, I really learned that policy was the way to affect major change. And I was also really interested in government, business, NGOs all working more collaboratively mm-hmm. together. And so I went to graduate school at Berkeley for public policy, got my master's. But while I was there, I had to do an internship. And so I approached Steve, who put me in touch with a person who was involved with the code. And I was able to basically get an internship over that summer, help raise money, and really help get the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance off the ground. So that's how I got to where I am today. And again, that was many, many years ago, 22 years ago almost.
And so was that job what brought you out to California in the first place? Is that what brought you west?
Great question. I grew up in a very small town, also in western Pennsylvania. People tend not to leave. A lot of my friends from high school in Allegheny are still nearby their homes. But I definitely, well, I always wanted to get out of my small town. But I also went on a program called Semester at Sea and went around the world. And it just opened my eyes to everything, got me really interested in sustainability, got me really interested in traveling. And so I had this incredible experience of going to Japan, China, Taiwan, Malaysia, India, Kenya, South Africa, Brazil, Venezuela, all in a single semester. Wow. And learn about the world. And so when I came back, I started taking all these environmental classes and sustainability classes. I also wanted to travel. And so I did a program in Japan called the Japanese Exchange and Teaching Program. And then friends of mine were moving to California, and they said, why don't you come with me? Come with us, and we'll rent a place. And I thought I would come and spend a year, and that would be it.
Check it out.
Yeah, but the trip cross-country was amazing after living in Japan, which is so small, just seeing wide open spaces. And then as soon as I got to California, I knew I had arrived home. And so that's basically how I got to California. And then
via the world.
After a series of other jobs trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I ended up in this environmental space, which led me to wine. And then my husband and I also have been in the restaurant business for the past 20 years. And so food and wine are sort of a way that I'm able to combine a lot of different passions.
So was wine something in your life before you arrived to this amazing place that is called California?
Well, being in western Pennsylvania,
it doesn't sound like so much.
Yeah, but, I think probably my first introduction was in South Africa on Semester at Sea, seeing some of the wine regions there. And then definitely California, I just started going and visit wine regions. And what really impressed me about the code was this really forward-thinking aspect of the industry, really seeing that it was important for the longevity of the industry to be able to focus on environmental issues, to show their neighbors and the community that they're true environmental stewards, as well as community stewards, and really also being willing to listen to stakeholders. And so all of those things kind of fit my interest in this idea of we need business to be involved in finding solutions for natural resource problems, and we need to work collaboratively with our NGO partners and others. So it was just a great way to bring, again, a lot of my interests together.
Absolutely.
Wow. So many interests.
Yeah. I love it. But I love that, I mean, the wine industry gets criticized, rightfully so, sometimes for not bringing people into it with a larger perspective or business training or public policy training. And so I love that you came at it, you know, it wasn't wine first. It was that you had all these other interests and then wine was the good fit for you. You know, same with you, Chris. I mean, you have so much more of a marketing and business perspective, and it's important that the wine industry continues to nurture that.
I fully agree. In fact, I'm teaching a class on leading sustainable enterprises at Sonoma State in their global wine executive MBA program, the GWEMBA. And
GWEMBA.
I like that. There's people from human resources and from finance and people who have not been in the wine industry trying to get in. And so I'm so excited that they saw the need to have sustainability be part of the curriculum so that it really is widespread and it's not just one person's job to manage the sustainability. It's really, you know, the entire operation. And so we try to instill that and show all the multiple benefits of sustainability so people aren't just focusing on one piece of it, but they really see that there are definitely lots of value that come from being involved.
Well, it's interesting, Allison. We've been on a number of panels and speaking opportunities and travel together. And I think one common topic that we spend a lot of time on is just talking about how, if you really step back and think about it, the wine industry and our farmers are one of the only industries that's proactively approached sustainability. And I think we don't get enough credit, I guess, so to speak, for that. So a lot of other businesses, industries, fashion, et cetera, have come to it because there was a problem that they're trying to solve for, versus saying we understand sustainability is a path for longevity in multi-generational farming and winemaking. And so I think that's fueled a lot of great conversation, but
fully agree. And I also think because we're still predominantly family owned operations, we're really thinking generationally beyond the quarters. And I just see that. I mean, it's interesting because, to your point, Virginia, there's so many different types of people in the industry, and more so where it's like there's fourth generation farmers who maybe started a winery too, but there's also new people coming out of tech, coming out of different perspectives. And so I think there's different reasons why people get involved, but I think there is that genuine wanting to preserve the land, wanting to pass on thriving businesses to future generations that is at the heart of what we do.
Yeah, and it's probably, I mean, it's such a long-term business, right? Unlike so many other things, especially in tech. It's very long-term. You have to think in a very different way. And that only is going to attract certain people that,
exactly.
that are hopefully in it for that long-term.
Exactly.
So maybe talk a little bit about, you mentioned the code a lot, but for folks that don't know what the code is, maybe talk a little bit about what that is.
Sure. So the California Code of Sustainable Wine Growing actually built on a lot of different efforts that were already happening around the state. So here in Sonoma, there was a lot of effort being placed on integrated pest management, on education, on lots of different sustainability topics, on neighbor and community issues, as we saw more people that maybe didn't understand farming moving out to rural areas, really helping them understand all the great work that was being done. So Sonoma was doing great things. Napa had a dialogue going. The Central Coast Vineyard team had a program called the Positive Point Systems. And Lodi had this viticulture workbook, which really was the basis of the code. But what we did was Wine Institute and COG got together, basically being this idea of promoting sustainability from grapes to glass and making sure that we had something that everyone in the industry could be involved with, whether you were in a certain region or not, and really bringing those best practices together into one place. And so we built on the viticulture chapters that Lodi had started, making sure they made sense statewide for operations of different sizes and scales, and again, the regional variety that which is fast in a state as large as California. And then we also had a lot of stakeholders review that work. And then we added winery chapters and winery topics to it. So it really is this comprehensive set of best practices that covers all vineyard and winery operations, and also the social aspects of sustainability, neighbors and community, and also, of course, being a good employer. So there's a human resources section as well. And it's a way that growers and vintners can self-assess their own operations. It started off as this 500-page code, which we still have copies around if anyone's interested.
I joke, it was like 5.3 pounds of best practices.
I love that was one of your numbers. How many you carried around in that year.
Exactly.
But it's now all online, so easy to sort of, once you do the first evaluation of your operations, you can run all these really useful reports that help benchmark your operations against others in the region, in the state, by size. And so it really becomes this great tool, whether or not you want to get certified, but to look at sustainability comprehensively, to look at your operations really holistically, and to think about where you want to make improvements. So that's really the genesis of everything that we do as an organization, is that idea of continuous improvement and understanding.
Yeah.
And then just talk a little bit about what it means to be certified, because I think that's an important, the certification process is really important and was key, at least in Sonoma County, for us.
Yeah, great. The code was first published in 2002 to give some perspective. We're now in the fourth edition and we're working on the fifth edition. Wow. So that's sort of the longevity of it. But it wasn't until around 2006 or 7 we started hearing, especially from wineries, but also from vineyards that wanted to better be able to communicate about their sustainability to their buyers. And we also know that trade became really interested in having that third party verification. So that was really key. So we set on this effort to first explore, should we pursue a certification program? Mm-hmm. which, by the way, was my master's thesis in public policy school. And I recommended that, yes, we should, but we should do it slowly and methodically and make sure we're bringing the entire industry along. So I've been able to help play
that out later. I don't think I knew that that was your master thesis. That's incredible.
And so we basically got the industry to agree we should go down this path, and it took 3 years to develop it. We brought in lots of experts, lots of industry and stakeholder input. And what it is it's basically a third-party verification that certain practices are being implemented, an overall score threshold is being met, that you are complying with certain restrictions on crop protection materials, in addition to having a very strong integrated pest management approach, that you're measuring certain things like your water and energy and greenhouse gas footprint, and also applied nitrogen for vineyards. And then finally, you're not only doing all of these things, but you're also looking at your own operations, because ultimately sustainability is local. So we want people to be thinking about what is the most important thing they could be doing. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to tell someone you have to focus on energy, because they may be have already done a lot on energy and they want to focus on something else. So they're basically looking at, you know, what's my region? What are the important issues here? Where does my operation have impact? And what can I do to prioritize? So they have to basically share that with their auditor and show that they're making progress on their continuous improvement plan each and every year.
Yeah. And I love the flexibility with the, I would say, especially with the continuous improvement, because which we can get into quickly after the break, but it just allows any size operation, and the affordability piece, which is also really important. So, all right, I think we need to take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Allison Jordan. Stuff with our guest Allison Jordan, who's explaining a lot about what the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance does and the work there and the evolution. So you've talked about certification. How do you quantify certification, and then kind of give us a little bit about the evolution of what's happened?
Sure. So I mentioned that we basically started off with this vineyard and winery certification and what's required, and the trade interest in this, but there is also ongoing interest. And trade was especially asking wineries to start making some claims on wine labels. So they were really happy to see the certificates that their vineyard was certified, their winery was certified, but they wanted to see that information on wine labels. And so, again, we went down this path. We have to bring together all of these different organizations and stakeholders to make sure that we're doing the right thing and that everyone's buying in. And we basically decided, yes, we wanted to create this path, and came up with a way that both the winery must be certified, and grapes from 85% or more of the grapes have to be certified that are in the wine in order to bear that label or to have claims made about it. And so it's really exciting just to see how many of those are in the marketplace. I was just at a place in North Beach in San Francisco, and a wine bottle happened to be turned around, and there it was. I was in a wine shop in Norway, and there's our label on wine on wine bottles. So it's really exciting to see, because I know how much work goes on behind that, but for them to be able to communicate it to consumers, I think is really, really valuable. And it does, again, the trade, the retailers, the restaurateurs, they seem to be really interested in seeing that. So what we've seen is that even though there was already pretty strong buy-in just with the vineyards and wineries, I think people saw the benefit of getting certified, of having that third-party auditor help with the verification and the enhanced credibility, but also keep people accountable. So it sort of forces you to know that someone's going to come and check these things. So there were lots of reasons why I think wineries and vineyards were already going down this path. But now we have 2,600 vineyards statewide that are certified. They represent about 45% of our acreage.
Yeah.
Another 22% are certified to other California programs like Lodi Rules, SIP Certified, Napa Green. We have 90% of all of California wine being made in a certified sustainable winery now. Just incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible. That's,
it basically means if you're buying wine,
I know,
in most cases you're buying wine that's been produced sustainably. And then we have nearly 30 million cases that are bearing the certified California Sustainable Wine Growing logo on it. So really exciting to see the level of adoption by the industry.
Well, and I will just have to say, so thank you for doing all the heavy lifting on the wine label certification, because we were able in Sonoma County to replicate, i.e. steal, the process.
borrow
that process focused on the grape growing, because that was our commitment here in Sonoma County. And so, again, following the same rules, 85%. And we just did the math, because I presented it at our annual meeting this last week. We're now on over 5 million cases of Sonoma County wine bears the, you know, made with sustainable farmed grapes from Sonoma County, which is
amazing.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's 35 million bottles of or cases of California wine where people can really see right away, just have that quick signal that they're sustainably produced wines.
Right. And I think that's sometimes all it takes, because or maybe all the time you get. Maybe I should say it that way, when you're at a restaurant or you're looking at a wine shelf and you get that little, I call it like a seal of approval, a little stamp that says, yeah, I feel good about buying this wine.
Yeah.
So thanks for that. Thanks for all the work.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I will say for the evolution piece of it that you asked about, Virginie, it's really important to note that while certification is a big part of what we do now because it's been so widely adopted, we also are very dedicated to education. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions we get often is, why are there so many different programs? And I think it is that on the ground assistance that really makes the difference. And, you know, there's the buy-in that we need to get around the table about what are truly the best management practices. Those conversations are super valuable. There's the workshops that we do. There's understanding what the needs of the industry are so that we can create handouts and educational materials and different opportunities, templates. I mean, there's so many things that we do that help support sustainability that aren't certification. At the end of the day, that's really just about communicating what you're doing, but it's what you're doing that really matters. And so beyond what's certified, we know that that sustainable practices are being widely adopted here in Sonoma and around the state.
Well, and you do such an important role in really communicating what California is doing around sustainability, literally around the world. So dealing with retailers from Canada or the Nordic countries or so on and so on. I was going to say it's a long, long list, but maybe talk a little bit about some of that outreach that you kind of do on behalf of California wine and vineyards.
Sure. So we always talk about steak and sizzle, which I'm not sure if that's the appropriate term when we're talking about sustainability, but I end up getting involved a lot on the steak side. So there's benchmarking that happens all the time. Yep. We're constantly being asked to complete benchmarks. And it is a way of, we do it internally too, because we want to make sure that we're adhering to international standards. We've had outside entities look at our program, make sure that we're meeting those requirements and or making additions and adding things if we think that they're needed. And we also really go and educate some of our key trade partners about what sustainability means, what does certification mean, why they should trust this claim. So that's a really important role. And telling stories and sharing case studies, and I'll talk maybe a little bit about the green medal later, but that's another way that we share a lot of what's happening here in California around the world. But through Wine Institute, my other hat, we also have a really robust international marketing program. And we have active campaigns in 30 countries around the world. And as part of that, we talk about wines on a mission. And it's really trying to create this umbrella. It's not just about certified California sustainable wine growing. It's about what's happening with Sonoma and Napa and all of the other wine regions around the state, all of the different certification programs, and what individual wineries and vineyards are doing. So it's really about storytelling, about getting some of the key messaging, and that's really the sizzle part. So we've done some really exciting things at places like Pro Wine and some standalone events. One of them we called Eureka in Canada and in the UK and many, many other places around the world.
Yeah, and it's really comprehensive, and I think I don't think people often know that that is such an important role that you do, kind of almost behind the scenes in front, but because it's outside the U.S., a lot of it, it's you know, I don't think we get as much information. So
no, but it's such an important way of communicating what is happening here in California and the leadership role that we have.
Yeah, and we know that consumers are really interested, especially younger consumers, in sustainability. So I think this is a chance for us to really make a difference and hopefully attract and retain and get some more people to really buy California wine because it's sustainable wine.
Well, absolutely.
Well, you'll love it. So Allison came and spoke to our Leadership Academy last year, which was great. And they loved talking about sustainability. And we actually just got our Vineyard Employee Survey back. And 82% of the 1,700 employees surveyed wanted to learn more about sustainable farming. So there was just this real interest. I thought that was so great. So I think there's such a huge opportunity thinking about our education, even in not just English, but also Spanish. And how do we make it even more applicable, boots on the ground, not kind of... In theory, we want to be sustainable, but what's all those best practices that they're probably implementing and may not know all the benefits of what they're doing. So I think there's a huge opportunity to do even more together that I'm excited about.
So. I love that. And I think so many of the solutions are from those people that have the boots on the ground and that are frontline and really see where can we do more to save water or to promote healthy soils. Those are the people that have the ideas and the ability to make a change.
I love it.
I know. So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned we're going to have to take a break in about a minute, but maybe just start talking a little bit about the Green Metal Program, and then we can pick that up after the break.
Sure. So it's been 11 years ago, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
A number of the different groups around the state that have been working on sustainability initiatives, including Sonoma County Wine Growers, of course, California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, Wine Institute, the California Association of Wine Grape Growers, but also the Vineyard Team and Lodi Wine Grape Commission and Napa Valley Vintners and Napa Green all came together and created some criteria for really shining a spotlight on the leaders in the state. And we now have about 36 recipients of the California Green Medal in different categories, including leader, business, environment, and community.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more about the Green Medal Awards with Allison Jordan. On the good stuff. And Allison, we had to cut you off there. Sorry for you were explaining the Green Medal Awards and some deadlines are coming up. Tell us a little bit more about what it is and how people can participate.
Yes. So the Green Medal really is just this great way for us to collect amazing stories of on-the-ground implementation of sustainability and to share that information with the world. So there are many, many promotional opportunities that come for the recipients of the awards. In 2024, the recipients were Lang Twins for the Leader Award, Gloria Ferrer for Environment, Cooper Garrett Vineyards down in the Santa Cruz Mountains area for Community, and Vino Farms for Business. Yes. So two Sonoma recipients.
That's pretty good.
And this next year's, the 2025 awards are now open. So anyone listening that would like to apply, just go to greenmedal.org. You'll find the application, and the deadline for the applications is February 5th. Yeah. So we'd love to get lots of different stories. And I will say that there are different journalists and our judging panels published online too. A lot of the different groups that are involved in presenting the presenting the awards and other experts. So it's a great way to get your stories in front of people regardless. And we really look forward to receiving some really exciting applications this year.
Yeah, right. You know, Jen on our team reviews all the applications, so we have a spot on the judging panel with our commitment here, and she loves reading those stories. So impressive.
It is so impressive. The hardest thing is choosing four out of the pile of amazing applicants. So, again, even if for those who haven't received it in the past and apply again, it's really worth it. And, again, we're all inspired by your stories. It really keeps us going.
Yeah.
All right. So as in the time we have left, let's talk a little bit about kind of what else you have coming up this year, some sustainability goals, maybe what you're seeing out there that's encouraging.
Sure. One of the most exciting things we have coming up very soon is that we've been working on a climate smart toolkit for growers and vintners. And the idea is that we're collecting the best information available on what potential impacts may be, but also the solutions. Like, mm-hmm. we want to give people solutions. And so when it comes to mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions, carbon sequestration, and or adaptation, you know, being more resilient in the face of a changing climate, we're going to have this really great web-based tool that people can use to develop their own strategies for those basically addressing climate change. So that will be coming out later this month, and we'll be doing a series of workshops around the state. You know, I think there's always this there's a challenging time right now. There's no doubt. I think we all see it. But at the same time, that's the perfect breeding ground for new innovations, new technology, mm-hmm. new solutions. So I'm excited to see people really hunkering down and really thinking about what those needs are. I mean, I know the innovation that's coming out of Sonoma and the way that you're working with vendors on trying to come up with those solutions. That is amazing and something that we can help spread around the state.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, Virginia mentioned it at the beginning of the show that you've been involved with our Farm of the Future effort, yeah. which is really great. And we're planning our second biannual summit coming this summer. So we'll make sure we have the dates on both of your calendars for that.
Yeah.
But collaboration is so important. And I think you've done just such a great job of bringing people together. And I love that every step of the way you're bringing in folks that are the growers and the vintners that are doing the practices. So you really understand what works, what doesn't work. So it's aspirational yet practical at mm-hmm. the same time. And I think it strikes a really nice balance.
And spending time with the younger generation too, through yes. your teaching and Sonoma State work and
Leadership Academy. Yeah, I mean, I think I really want to hone my teaching skills. That's my personal goal, so that I can really help inspire the next generation to be involved. And personally, I'm also going to have to learn how to sustain myself without my daughter, who's going to be leaving for college this year. So lots going on this year. And I do think there's this real opportunity for wine as a whole to be considered the sustainable beverage of choice.
Absolutely.
And digging into that message, you know, talking about our agricultural roots and about our sustainability leadership. And there's just so many ways, so many great stories, so many great messaging points that we can get out there, both in the public policy arena and in the marketplace.
Well,
I couldn't have said it better. That is the good stuff right there.
That is cheers to that. Allison, you've been an inspiration. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And clearly we have to have you back to talk about all the other things happening, but really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wrapping things up here on The Good Stuff, and what a great early part of the year show.
I know.
So inspiring, so many things to think about. Love the teaching part.
I know. And she's just so smart. And I love the approach they've taken, which is incredibly aspirational, but also really meets growers and wineries, like where they're at, their size of business, where they can find, you know, opportunities to improve. So there's this kind of practical side that I think it's business. You mm-hmm. have to, at the end of the day, be able to make it all work.
Yeah.
So, she's been, like I said, she's been an incredible partner personally, as well as, you know, the Wine Institute and the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, along with COG, which is the California Association of Wine Grape Growers. I know we have all these acronyms, but all very important organizations that work on behalf of all the growers and vintners around the state. So much appreciated.
So I think the way to learn more is sustainablewinegrowing.org is the website that we have for her, or wineinstitute.org. For more information, she mentioned the Green Medal Awards. Get your applications in. And I'm actually going to have my Tuesday Night Wine is going to honor one of those Green Medal Award winners.
I like that.
Gloria Ferrar, she mentioned, had won one of the awards in 2024. And I was eyeing their 21 Cremoso.
Wow.
You know, I mean, most of what they make is sparkling wine. That is a sparkling wine. And
yeah,
I'm going to have that.
You're going green on Tuesday night. You're drinking green.
Green and bubbly.
I love that. Well, I'm excited. So they were not a Green Medal winner don't think they applied, so not that they lost the green medal, just clarify. But Lambert Bridge, I'm going to do their 23 Sauv Blanc because it's a Bevel Vineyard designate. So love a Duff Bevel. He's been on our board for a number of years as the current chair of the foundation. But he also is on the board of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers. So he gets to guide some of the work that Allison does. And he was one of the initial contributors to the Code of Sustainability back in the early 2000s when they were working on that. So
amazing.
Shout out to Duff Bevel for everything he does. And I'm going to be enjoying the Lambert Bridge Bevel Vineyard Sauv Blanc on
Duff
Tuesday
Bevel,
night.
Previous early guest on the Good Stuff.
Yeah, he was one of the first.
Yeah, talking about his guitars and cars. So with that, another great show. Good luck with everything coming up.
I know, lots of travel. Yep. Off we go.
And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.